the glory of the Lord is here. Why is the glory of the Lord here? Why? Because there's somebody here that loves Jesus and likes him to be around. Glory to God, and that wonderful promise of Jesus is fulfilled. What a difference there is. When my sister and I got into Pentecost, we often spoke of it. My, what a difference. Sister Shilly speaks of it. What a difference. We used to go to church. Thank God for that. It was quite wonderful. But what a difference when we came to Jesus and he came to us. And he really got hold of us. And he really revealed himself to us. And that's what he means. And that's why a meeting like this must be different. If there are only two here that really want the Lord, really want him bad enough for him to manifest himself, his heart is full of joy. Why, remember how he said to his disciples, "You now have sorrow, but I'll see you again." That's a wonderful word. And then your heart will rejoice, and your joy nobody's going to take from you. That word, "I'll see you again," we say in German, "Auf Wiedersehen." And we say in French, "Au revoir." And we say in Italian, "Arrivederci." Tu capisci? And in Chinese, we say, "Sai chen." And in Swiss, we say, "Wiederluga." I'll see you again. And when he came, the Bible says, they were glad to see him. Why, that was the only thing that could make them glad, was his presence. And then he said, "And I will remain with you in your joy. No man taketh from you." But that is a mystery that lots of people don't understand, because they don't want him bad enough, or maybe they don't believe in him. Here he manifests himself through faith. Faith is substance. Now, scientists are teaching us something about substance that cannot be seen. And the Bible told us that 2,000 years ago. We understand by faith that everything that's visible is made out of invisible things. That which is visible is temporal, but that which is invisible is eternal. And while Jesus Christ came in the power and person of the Holy Ghost after his resurrection, he didn't mean not to be recognized. He meant to manifest himself much more powerfully, much more mightily than he was able to do when he was visible. And that's the joy, he says, "No man taketh from you." I suppose I've been one of the happiest persons in the whole world now for 50 years since Jesus came, really came to me, because I don't care for anything in heaven or on earth but Jesus. And he never disappoints me. That is the wonderful thing. He's always with me and always within me. And no matter how the storms howl, and no matter what conditions are like, and no matter what people will do and say, there is a hiding place in the Lord Jesus Christ, which he spoke of to Thomas. And you know, Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I can put my fingers in his nail prints. I want tangible proof of his resurrection." And Jesus gave him that proof. But he says, "You're a foolish boy. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And Peter learned that lesson, "Whom having not seen, ye love." Children of God, the glory of the Lord is here because Jesus is here. Really and truly, the very same Jesus. And the great tragedy is that we're satisfied with a little feeling, maybe, or a little song, or a little sermon, and we don't really press through to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's why we have this New Testament that shows us the way, and there's only one way. It's the way of faith. Living faith, and living faith can only come from this great fountain. This wonderful word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by preaching. And when the word of God is preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, it wants to open the gates of the temple. Those gates that have been rusty, have been shut so long. Now the Holy Ghost gets hold of a crowbar, and not really, you know, but he gets them open, and those gates of the temple are the gates of your being. Oh, this wonderful, marvelous being. Some of you high school students study biology. You don't know anything about biology until you know something about the inner man. This wonderful creature which God calls the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ really takes possession of this temple, fills it with the power of his resurrection. Oh, my Lord and my God, we've only started on this shining pathway, and God wants to draw us into the knowledge of the Son of God, and every meeting ought to make us more homesick, ought to create in us a greater desire for Jesus. That's what Paul was working on when he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And again, Jesus shows us himself walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. John saw him like that, and he fell at his feet as dead. And Jesus said, don't fear. I'm he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And now let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The word of God will quicken that sight of mine, will give me a vision. Rakamazon. Oh, my Lord, you said, I'll see you again. And he said another thing that we ought to take to heart. He said, the world seeth me no more. Don't be surprised at the black unbelief you find in the world and in the worldly church. The God of this world is busy working overtime to blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. But unto us God hath revealed them by his Spirit. And he says, because I live, you shall live also, and you shall see me. And I know there are people in this meeting who have seen him. Somebody said to me, do you really see the Lord? I said, certainly. I couldn't live this life at all if I couldn't. Oh, my Lord and my God will anoint our eyes with eyesight. That Holy Spirit who is here tonight is God himself, the living God, the resurrected Son of God. And he's got power to subdue all things unto himself. Let us open the gates of the temple tonight and really let him, this present Savior, have his way.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Tonight, there is a breakthrough wherever a heart opens and a mouth opens to praise the Lord in the Holy Ghost. There, Jesus Christ constitutes a breakthrough. He breaks through the clouds and through the fogs, and he comes and manifests his presence. And that's what I mean when I say we should learn by experience. That's the only way I learned. The only way I can work is in a Pentecostal way. When God takes hold of my vocal organs and says, Hallelujah, Or he takes hold of my hands and he says, I know the devil don't like it. He never did. But oh, Jesus likes it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He produces this praise himself. And all the change that comes into your heart when you really become transparent, when you become a vessel sanctified and meet for the Master's use, when you learn that you don't belong to yourself but to him, and that he has given you a mouth not to curse with, and not to bawl your husband out with or anybody else, and not to lie with, and not to spit out poison of asps, but for the praise. What does he say? His praise. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And when you find out what your mouth is for, a wonderful thing will happen to your mouth. Praise God. It will become sanctified. Sanctified. It'll become used for the Master. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, these things are infinitely more important than we realize unless we've learned by experience. Unless we have really given ourselves, or as we heard this morning, our very bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Years ago, they used to burn up the martyrs. I remember one martyr who was tied to the stake, and he was twisting himself, and he said, I can't burn. Give me some fire. He wanted to have it over with. He said, I cannot burn. Now, you can burn if you want to. Let your mouth burn, first of all. That's the worst thing about you. Let your mouth really be a living sacrifice and say, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And when you do that, you're not doing it alone. The Holy Ghost will take over. There will come a breakthrough. Oh, how Jesus Christ is standing at the door and knocking and seeking a breakthrough. And what does he want? Why, he says, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I will sup with you, and you with me. There will be holy communion. There will be an exchange of life. Jesus pouring his life into you, and you pouring out your worship to him. And oh, there that union is established between the invisible Son of God and the visible church. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee, and the Father in heaven takes notice of it. That's the wonderful thing about a Holy Ghost meeting. And looking over this meeting, I see a number of dead tubes. You know how it is in your radio when the tubes are dead. You don't get the music. You may get a few shrill notes, but you don't get the symphony orchestra. The bass notes are missing, or something is missing. And oh, when the tubes are dead, beloved, you don't know how dead you are. You really don't know how dead you are until the Holy Ghost begins to shake you a little bit and to quicken you a little bit and try to get in. Oh, the experience. Fools will learn in no other. Here's the best school. Glory to God. And that's why we have meetings of the Holy Ghost type, where we can come and we're encouraged again and again to praise the Lord. And don't think that I'm doing it. I wouldn't be fool enough to try to make you praise the Lord. Goodness, no. Was soon
hereof unto. Men she kissed but in there, very cool among Zechia, thy fear is so kindamon, thy key kai father unto. Not the care, but so kindamon Zechia among Zion. Man the fear, man the fire, but so kinshin thy upon so cool of thy. For the minder, be the fire, but the marker, the so kinshin, not so kinder, but so kinder.
It is certainly proper in a meeting like this for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. And not only to say so, but to shout aloud, because the mighty one of Israel is great in the midst of you. And you say, well, where are the redeemed of the Lord? And I'll tell you, all of humanity has been redeemed. That blood that has been shed on Calvary's cross, that price which I paid was the price of redemption, not only for one or two, but for the whole humanity. And therefore, I have established among men the word of reconciliation. And if you cannot enjoy tonight the blessings and the merits of redemption, it's because you haven't come with boldness, you haven't claimed your inheritance, you haven't brought me your sins that you might be delivered from your iniquities. And so I call upon you this night to remember the price I paid. Recall that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and recall also the word of the Holy Ghost that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life, and that whosoever includes you, everyone within the hearing of my voice, and everyone that is dwelling upon this earth, has been redeemed by my precious blood. But it really is time for those that have experienced the power of my redemption to come out from among them, and to get up on top of the Mount Zion and to make it known to the rest of humanity what redemption really means. Not only by shouting it out aloud, but by living the life. I have set you upon this earth filled with darkness to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, to shine as sons of God, holding forth the word of life. And don't think it is a trifling matter to be redeemed. It means everything. If you have experienced the power of my blood, then let others know, not only by word of mouth, but by your life, living a new life. For as many as have been redeemed are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Come, children of mine, praise his wonderful name, and receive this night again the benediction of your heavenly Father, and say, Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done